Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Welcome to another episode of Buckets in the 503. I'm your host, Nawan Thompson. I'm here with my co-host,
Curtis Williams. We're back to cover up some of the past scores and top 10 rankings in the coaches poll, and then also some of the past scores from the past week and a half.
Yeah, so, you know, new coaches poll came out as of December 16th, putting Central Catholic as the coaches' number one team. Central Catholic right now is 2-2, coming off a tough road trip down in Utah. Curtis, what did you see in some of those games?
Central Catholic started off 2-0 beginning of the season. They beat a tough Skyview team out of Vancouver, and they beat Wales. I was actually at that game. And they went to Utah and dropped a couple games. One game was a close game, lost by three. They lost another team by double digits. But they were shorthanded, missing Jalen Nicholson, kind of their dynamic small forward, power forward, the biggest player on their team. So without him, they had to play really small. They started Isaac Bong and Donovan Miller, Robbie Long, Malcolm Witherspoon, and Bam Pascal. And so they've left them with pretty thin rotation as they were on that road trip for the back-to-back games in Utah.
Yeah, tough trip for them, you know, but one thing Central always does is they, you know, they find a way, they go out of state, play some really tough teams, and get themselves ready when they're coming back here to Oregon. And so, you know, I know they had a couple tough losses out there, but I'm pretty sure they're going to do pretty well when they come back here.
Yeah, we'll know more about Central Catholic and if their preseason ranking number one will hold up this Friday when they play Southridge at Southridge, two of the top teams in the state.
Yeah, the Southwest Skyhawks coming in number two on the coaches poll. So you got a number one versus number two matchup happening Friday at the Cage at Southridge. It's going to be a great game, great atmosphere, be a lot of fun. Southridge is coming back from Arizona, dropping one out in Arizona to the 5A state champs out there, but then bounce back in a big way and get a win going 1-1 out in Arizona. But Southridge had a pretty tough schedule. We've done a good job. You know, we beat Tualatin early in the season, and then on Wednesday, Lake Ridge came in and went ahead and took care of business in the Cage and winning that game by 16 as well. Southridge doing a really good job with balanced scoring all the way around. Everybody's getting touch the rock, and you're seeing, you know, some of our players develop. That game on Friday is going to be really good, as you can see Ryder Zanin from Southridge, who is a Central Catholic transfer, get a chance to play against his old teammate. So that'll be a lot of fun. Curtis, what have you seen from Southridge?
Just a team that's been to the Chalice for the last couple of years, so they've seen a lot of things, and so they're probably ahead of the curve with most teams when it comes to early season struggles and with their experience. And, you know, I think they're a legit top five team in the state and probably a lock to be in the Child Center this year, as they're the preseason Metro League favorites. But they move the ball really well, great chemistry, and a great team camaraderie.
The group's been playing together for a very long time, and we'll see that chemistry and see how well it fares against a number one Central Catholic on Friday. And then at number three, we have the undefeated Oregon City Pioneers at 5-0. They're red hot and rolling to start the season with Eli Hopkins leading the way. I believe his last game, he just dropped 31 points on the Roosevelt Rough Riders. Curtis, what have you seen from Oregon City in their group?
I think they're probably the biggest shocker, or had the best start to the season so far. They open up with the tournament at Sherwood by beating Jesuit and Clackamas, and then they win a tough road game versus West Salem. And then they go to the Barlow tournament, and they beat Centennial by over 20 after being up only up a couple points at halftime, and then they beat Barlow in a hostile environment. And then also, like you said, they just beat Roosevelt. So they won majority of their games by double digits outside of the Jesuit game. And so, I mean, winning that Sherwood tournament, winning that Barlow tournament almost locks Oregon City in as a top eight seed when it comes to February, March playoff time.
No, absolutely. Oregon City is doing a great job. Another team that's really balanced. They got five guys, looks like, in double figures, and big man Connor Lemon is doing the job for him down there, along with Alarion Scott getting all the rebounds. You know, Eli's the big-time scorer for him, but Elijah Scott is the most one of the better athlete point guards out there, and he's doing a great job as well, leading that group and making sure they're taking care of the basketball. So just a really good balanced team. Like I said, five guys in double figures, game in and game out, and they just know how to play together. You know, you see Eli making sure his guys are huddled every time, and that chemistry really helps when games are close, which they haven't had too many, but you know, a lot of tough battles, a good schedule so far, and you know, they have a pretty good schedule coming up here in the LSI. They do play Southridge first round, so that'll be an exciting one to watch.
Yeah, I think two huge X factors for them this year that people didn't talk about preseason were Lemon Kid, their big guy, a tough matchup, and then also Elijah Scott. I mean, Alarion was second-team All-League, and Eli was first-team All-League, but Elijah's been one of the leading scorers in half their games this year, exploded at the Sherwood tournament, and have been balling all year.
No, definitely. Big wins against, you know, Jesuit, Clackamas, Barlow. And then they got Grant coming up here on Friday. And then at the LSI, they have Southridge. So we'll see how they fare, see if they can keep that win streak alive. They start out the season hot, and that always helps as you get ready and gear up for the other big games. And then coming in at number four, we have the Tualatin Timberwolves, led by Jamai Lake. You know, for number four seed, they have the preseason player of the year favorite in Jamai Lake on the team. But they also have Junior as well, who is doing a great job in that backcourt. You know, they've only dropped one game so far this season to Southridge, and then they've kind of bounced back in the next two. But Jamai Lake is actually on a tear, shooting a very efficient. I think last game he was 11 for 17. For Southridge, he was 11 for 17. The last game, I believe he only missed one shot. I mean, the kid is a straight bucket. And, you know, we're looking for them to make some serious noise in the Capital City Classic.
Yeah, it's Walton. Got a lot of experience. You got two of the best point guards in the state, and Jamai Lake and Pat Vialva, but they also have unsung heroes and Carter Lemon, who's been balling. They just beat Jeff, a tough Jeff Gritty team. Jeff gave them a fight for two or three quarters, and they end up pulling away, winning by double digits. So I know they're gearing up. They have a brutal schedule coming up, as they have the Capital City Classic and the Les Schwab back-to-back. And so they'll play four games in 5 days, and they'll have Christmas, and they'll play another four games in 4 days, 4 or 5 days. And so, I mean, they have a brutal schedule coming up where they'll play 8 games in about 11 days. So we'll see how that will take a tear on them. But they're pretty deep teams. So that depth that they have on their bench will play in the next two tournaments.
No, absolutely. You know, and before they even get to that gauntlet of going to the Capital City Classic and the Les Schwab Invitational, they have a tough Thurston team who will beat you up a little bit down there. And so, you know, just trying to, you know, this time of the season when you're playing that many games and that many nights, it's about the ability to stay healthy. So hopefully, you know, they take care of their bodies and are ready to go, because that is one gauntlet of a schedule. And then coming in at number five, we have the Nelson Hawks. Nelson right now is without their starting point guard, Braylon Gaines, who's dealing with an injury. Hopefully his timeline to be back will be back by the Les Schwab Invitational. But they are 3-1 right now. They dropped one game to Lake Oswego in a surprise game right there. But they've been holding down the fort a little bit until they're starting point guard gets back. Curtis, what have you seen from Nelson?
I haven't got a chance to see him play live in person yet, but I know they had a couple. They had two trips to Eugene. They played at Matt Court. Won two big games there, and they also beat West Lynn in a tough battle. And they struggled versus Lake Oswego. Lake Oswego was trying to get revenge off of losing to Nelson in the playoffs. So I know they were had that game circled on their calendar all summer. And so they came in there with a lot of intensity and ended up actually blowing them out by like 25. But as we talked about Tualatin, Nelson has a similar schedule coming up as they have the Capital City Classic and the Les Schwab back-to-back. And with them being another one of the deepest teams in the state, that's going to come to mind, come in handy as they play four games in 5 days at the Capital City Classic and then another four games at the Les Schwab. So I think they actually play half. Nelson actually plays half of their schedule in the month of December. So, you know, it could be a good thing or a bad thing, you know, depending on how the RPI shakes out.
12 games in the month of December, and right before, they just played against Caldera, winning that game by 14 in a bounce-back game for them. And then they start out that Capital City Classic versus West Albany. So that'll be interesting to see how they do. It is probably good for, you know, the other guys on that team to get some reps playing the one for Jaden and Carter until Braylon gets back. It'll probably help them be a little bit more dynamic once Braylon gets back in the fold. So interesting to see how they shake out, but can they hold down the fort until Braylon gets back is a question for the Nelson Hawks. And then coming in at number five, we have the Jesuit Crusaders in the coaches' poll. Jesuit, you know, they're one of those staple teams. You know, they're always going to be in the mix, be really good. They're going to run and jump you if your guards can't handle pressure. You know, they've had a somewhat of a tough schedule. They did drop one to Oregon City, but then bounce back and beat Sherwood in that first tournament. Curtis, what have you seen from Jesuit?
Typical Jesuit team, man. Tough, gritty. Setting screens, guys knowing their roles. Every game, a lot of the games is not the same leading score back-to-back games. I mean, there's been games where Major Williams is the leading scorer. There's been games where Sam Kirby's the leading scorer. So they did drop one to Oregon City, and again, they were actually up in the fourth quarter. So they could be undefeated if it wasn't for that game. And so, I mean, just tough Jesuit team. They're going to be a tough out for anybody. And I know they're going to a lot of people get a chance to see them as they open up in the Les Schwab against Barlow.
Yeah, that would be a really good game to watch. You know, Barlow, obviously the defending champions, and bringing back Madden Cummings, starting point guard over there at Barlow, going up against that pressure that, you know, that run and jump that Jesuit is going to bring. So be interesting to see that matchup. You know, Jesuit's done a really good job after losing the first game, winning four straight. Like I said, they beat Sherwood, LaSalle, Roosevelt and Grants Pass, and then they have Jefferson on Friday night before going to the Les Schwab Invitational and playing against Barlow. So be interesting to see. You know, Sam Kirby's one of those guys on that Jesuit team, you know, really improved, has a really nice jumper, one dribble pull up. Then you have someone like Major Williams who, you know, has the ability to get super hot form, and also Penny, who's doing a real good job defensively over there, has the ability to get hot as well. So be interesting to see how Jesuit fares in the Les Schwab Invitational. You know, they're always ready and willing to get down and dirty. And then coming in at number six, Lake Oswego. You know, Lake Oswego, surprise team. They're a veteran-heavy team. A lot of seniors. I think they returned their whole starting five coming back this season. You know, Liam Wrigley's coming off playing in the EYCL, doing a really good job over there. And, you know, Lake Oswego is just a poised team, and you can tell by the way that they play. They went into Nelson and, you know, shocked them and beat them by handily by 25 points. And so, you know, you can't never count out the Lake Oswego Lakers.
Yeah, we're actually doing this podcast right after the Southridge Lake Oswego game. Tough game. Lake Oswego hung in there for about 3.5 quarters. Southridge pulled away, won by 16. But Lake Oswego is going to be a tough out. I could see them upsetting some people this year. They knew the ball. They shoot the ball well. They just came across a team that was similar to them, but just a more veteran team. And they're at home. So I think Lake Oswego just didn't really match it that well versus Southridge, but I could definitely see them giving some teams some problems this year.
No, definitely. You know, Liam Wrigley and their point guard, Jackson Freeman, you know, those two are tough and they're going to be on the top of a lot of people's scouting reports. So it'll be interesting to see how they adapt as the season goes on, as more scouting reports come in on them. You know, can they make those adjustments and can those bench players step up and get some buckets for them? It's going to be big for them. But shout out to them for, you know, coming out playing hard. You know, they have a no-die attitude. They have some football players on the team that just won a 6A state championship, so they definitely have a championship pedigree within them. Their fans are rowdy and wild, and so, you know, that's going to carry over for them and bode well for them, bring that championship mentality to the basketball court. And then after Lake Oswego, we have the Barlow Bruins coming in at number 8. Curtis, talk a little bit about Barlow and what you've seen from them this season.
Yeah, Lake Oswego and Barlow are joining the rankings this week because they were not ranked the week before. But Barlow, a team with a chip on their shoulder, a lot of people counted them out this year because they graduated the trio of Braden Barron, Jalen Atkins, and Mason Bierbauer. But, I mean, Tom Johnson's back. I mean, a lot of people assume that he's going to retire, but they're a feisty group. They beat Grant by one in a close game. But they were ahead most of the game. I had control majority of the game. They're up 9 with like 2 minutes left, and then Grant had like a 7-point possession. It was a crazy scenario. But they pulled it out. And then they also have beaten teams such as West Salem. But they did lose a tough one in the championship game at their tournament to Oregon City. But as you can see, Oregon City has been beating a lot of teams. So it's nothing to hang their hat on. But Madden Cummings and Maddox Jelling have both been balling out. I mean, those are two guys that I could see making an all-league team in the Mountain Hood League this year, first, second team. And so, I mean, Barlow's definitely going to be one of the teams that gets a home playoff game this year.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Barlow is just a gritty team. You can't count that up. You know, they're not going to beat themselves. You know, you're going to have to go in there and beat them. You know, they've had some very tough wins against a West Salem team who's really good. They returned their stars over there. A Westview team, they beat them by 5, who's always going to come at you. They got some players over there at Westview in Dayton Jenkins and Ian Batista, who are doing a great job at Westview, keeping them afloat. But Barlow was able to get them as well. And like you said, they beat Grant by 1. So a lot of tough, gritty wins that Barlow's had, and that's probably why the coaches put them in the top 10 for the first time of this season. And then also coming in at number 9, we have Clackamas. Clackamas led by RJ Byron and Sirius Owens, doing a great job over there. You know, they're right now, I believe, 2-1. Their only loss of the season right now is to Oregon City. Curtis, talk a little bit about Clackamas and what you've seen so far.
Yeah, Clackamas has opened up with a tough win at Sherwood in Sherwood's tournament, a gritty win. And they also went on the road and beat West Salem. So, I mean, they had one loss to Oregon City. But, I mean, a lot of people are willing to see wanting to see Clackamas on the big stage. And so they have a couple of games coming up, and they'll be on the Les Schwab next week. And so I know right now R.J. Barham is one of the top leading scorers in the state. And then Sirius Owens has provided a huge impact because he had the game-winning steal and layup against Sherwood in his opening game with them this year. And so – just a tough team. So, man, they're going to make some noise this year. I could definitely see them be one of the top teams in the state, a chance to make a Child Center run.
Yeah, they definitely have a chance to make a Child Center run this year. You know, coming up, you know, they have, before they get to the Les Schwab, they have Canby, a 5A team that's a favorite right now in the 5A ranks. And so that'll be interesting to see how they match up over there. You know, is the 6A just that much more dominant than 5A, or can Canby give them a run? That'll be an interesting matchup to see. Eyes will be on that game. And then they go to Les Schwab and play Sierra Canyon as the first game, which should be a tough matchup for them. But it's always good to get that experience versus national powerhouse teams like Sierra Canyon. So it'll be very interesting to see. You know, and then right after Les Schwab, they go out and play against Tualatin. And so they have a tough stretch here coming up. And so I think that'll be a season-defining stretch for them to kind of see how they fall out in the mix of the other top teams in the coaches' poll. And then coming in at number 10, rounding out the top 10, we have the West Lynn Lions as number 10 from the coaches' poll. Curtis, what can you say about West Lynn?
Yeah, Westland was an unknown this year. They had 8 to 9 seniors last year that graduated, then the returning point guard, Trey Price, ended up going to Mater Dei. They had a tough win last week, two tough wins, one versus Wilsonville and one versus at Mountainside. And then their only loss of the season is to Nielsen by 13. So they play Sherwood to open up the Capital City Classic on Thursday. And so, we'll see. I mean, sometimes, road wins can carry weight, but we'll see after the next week or two how good Westland really is. A lot of people don't understand they have some football players that are playing that a lot of people don't know in the basketball community that are making a huge impact on the roster this year.
Yeah, the coach over there at Westland does a really good job of, having the team share the basketball, getting player and ball movement. And so, if people can't guard multiple actions and things like that, then, Westland's going to be able to dissect you a little bit. So, they're doing a really good job, really well-coached team over there. But this next section of the season is huge for a lot of teams with the Capital City Classic, the LSI, and then some good 5A, 6A matchups. Right after they get done with the Capital City Classic, Westland then goes against Canby and Sunset. And so that 6-game stretch for Westland is going to tell a lot how their season turns out. And then, Curtis, that does it for our top 10. Who do you think, for yourself, have you seen out there that deserves a mention about the top 10?
A couple teams, I'd say. Two teams that dropped out of the top 10 were Westview and Benson. Westview had a tough loss. And then Benson had a heartbreaking loss to Sherwood at home. Didn't play their best. We had two players foul out in regulation. Freshman Kendall Hopkins McLaughlin and then JP, they both fought with 4 minutes in regulation, and then we ended up losing in overtime on a, I ain't gonna say bad call, but questionable call with 1 second left to lose in overtime. So that was a heartbreaking loss. Might have a chance to play them again. So you could, and then Sherwood also. I mean, Sherwood, their only two losses are to Clackamas and Oregon City, who are in the top 10. And so they have an argument where they could be the top 10 for coach's poll. I saw Grant play. Grant's young. I mean, I don't know if they're a top 10 team right now, but I can see them being a top 10 team in about January, February. They started 4 sophomores and a freshman. And then I was going to say Sheldon. They came down here and beat Jeff, but then they just went on the road yesterday and played Gresham, was up 20 and lost. And so, it's just depending on, the day of the week. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the coldest poll really doesn't matter. What really matters at the end of the day is the RPI poll, which where you're at in the computers. That's going to determine our playoff seedings. And then also with the coaches poll, all the coaches don't vote. So, I mean, we can occur if the coaches poll, I mean, it'd be better if a lot of the more coaches voted on the coaches poll so we can get an idealistic realization of what the real opinions are out there.
Yeah, most definitely, because there's teams like Gresham, like you said, who's 3-1. They're making some noise. Unfortunately, they don't have a chance in the LSI to move to the winners bracket, but they've shown that they're up and willing to compete. They're 3-1 on the season. They're only lost to Union, which is an Oregon school, but they did beat Sheldon by 1. They beat Lake Ridge by 7, and they've also beat Churchill by 14. And so coming up here, though, they do have Westview, so that'll be a good matchup to see where they're at. And then they are in the LSI, and they'll play against a lot of the other teams that are in that tournament. And so, big-time stuff for Gresham. I think they have a ton of talent over there. And they have big time scores as well. So they can definitely make some noise over there in that Mount Hood Conference. Some other teams, that I believe, may have an opportunity. We can see if Sunset, I know they're struggling a little bit trying to find their bearings since Drake Walsh transferred over to Centennial, but they still have Shea Thompson and Rocco over there, and so they have a shot to be good as the season goes on. They're also only 3-1. Beaverton right now is 4-0. They actually beat Lake Oswego 67-66, who's in the coach's top 10. And so, big win for them, and then they're taking care of business against the other competition that they should, winning games by 20 and at Tiger, beating them by 7. And so they head off to Arizona and play some teams down there. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they do when they come back. They're doing a good job of just stacking wins. And right now they're number 10 in the OSAA ranking. So look out for Beaverton. You know, coach over there does a really good job getting those guys ready. They're going to be a feisty group. And so anytime you play against them, you got to be ready for a dogfight.
Yeah, that was another team I forgot about, Beaverton. Beaverton and North Salem are the two teams that are undefeated right now that have been making noise. And I know North Salem had a couple of transfers coming in, so they think they have a shot to make some noise this year. And then Beaverton has a nice, feisty group of guards.
No, absolutely. Yeah, and that'll do it for this week's episode.
Yeah, and then just stay tuned. Next week we'll have an episode on the recap of the Capital City Classic, and then we'll also have an episode on the preview for the Les Schwab.
Yeah, big time games coming up next week, so stay tuned, stay with us, and we appreciate you listening to Buckets in the 503.